Well, I just heard something that is awesome. You ready? Here it is, right from heaven. God is crazy about you. He's in love with you. He thinks you're awesome. Now, some of you haven't got the message yet, so I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to get ready, because you're going to stand up, and you're going to tell somebody that they just met the most awesome person of their day, okay? That would be me, okay? That's what you have to say. Are you ready? Okay, come on, stand up. Come on, say, hi, how are you? You just met the most awesome person of your day. And that would be me. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. I like it. Well, I know the worship team didn't know that our good friend Alejandro is here from Dallas. And Richard had prepared a song. Richard, where are you? We'll have you sing next Sunday. Would you do that for me? I don't know where Richard is. Is he around? Would you do it next week for me? Do it next week, because you didn't know Alejandro was here. But next week, he'll be back in Dallas. You'll be here. So do you mind? I just want you to know I'm the most awesome person that you're going to meet today.
I love you. Love you too.
Thank you. All right. Amen. I heard this little story. I think it's really cool. There was this admiral, and you know admirals in the U.S. Navy. Anyway, he was aboard a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, and he sees a light in the distance at night, and the light is dead ahead of where the ship is going. And so the ship radios to this unknown vessel, change your heading 15 degrees to the north. And they hear a response from this unknown vessel that says, no, you change your heading 15 degrees to the south. Well, this aircraft carrier got back on the radio and said, listen, you change your heading 15 degrees north right now. And the voice on the unknown vessel said, no, you change your heading onto the 15 degrees to the south. Well, about this time, the admiral became furious. So he gets on the radio and he said, excuse me, this is Admiral so-and-so of the United States Navy. I'm aboard a nuclear aircraft carrier, and we are heading in your direction. Now I command you to change your heading 15 degrees to the north. Pause. Voice came over and said, I am a seaman, third class, and I'm telling you for the last time, change your course 15 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse. Sometimes we need a little encouragement. Sometimes we need a little encouragement. Sometimes, who got me this thing? I tried. Look, you may, huh? It's raining in here? Oh, it's just water, I'm sorry. Here, have a choice seat. Bring your seats and come up here. That'll be great. I apologize. It's raining in the church. Glory to God. Day of Pentecost. That's right. Isn't this Pentecost Sunday? Yeah, all right. I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, sometimes we're headed in the wrong direction. And because of our pride, because we think we're in control, and we know what's up ahead, We refuse the warning signs. Now, I'm sorry, my warning sign was pretty weak this morning. But the Holy Spirit will often challenge us to change our course of direction. And don't allow your own pride or your own opinion to get in the way, because disaster is looming ahead. Do you know what I'm talking about? I want to share with you a scripture. It's one of my life scriptures. I get a chance to preach on those once in a while, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, do it today. Isaiah 62 and verse 10. This verse got into my spirit many, many years ago, and I use it all the time in my own exhortation of my life. And it simply talks about a prophecy or an admonition to make a change. Listen to what it says. Go through the gates and prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway and take out the stones and lift up a banner for the peoples. But that's not really accurate, is it? If you notice, the admonition about going through the gates is repeated. It says, go through, go through. It's sort of like Jesus who says, truly, truly, I say unto you. The Holy Spirit is really trying to emphasize something here in this particular scripture. He says it twice. It is a double command. But notice in the same verse, we get a second double command. He says, build up the highway. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't stutter. This is with purpose. The Holy Spirit is trying to emphasize to you and me that God wants us to make a move. To make a move. That word go through literally is in reference with an emphasis to say the season you're in is over. Amen. Some of you will get a hold of that. And you are about to enter in to another season. You and I are about to go to another place or another realm of the glory of God. I think right there would be a good place to say thank you, Jesus. Because where I've been has not been that easy. But he wants us to go through. In other words, expect to go into another realm of glory. But then he says, the gates. We are to expect to go into another season, but it's through the gate. Now, the gate is something very interesting. The gate actually makes reference to that which either prevents or controls access. So put it together with me. God begins to minister this truth. And he's saying, you are about to go into another realm of glory. You're about to leave one season and go into another. And I'm prophesying to somebody right there. I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit right there. So maybe it's just me. I'll receive it, Lord. Thank you, God. But anyway, he said, you're going to go through a gate. That which has prevented and controlled you from going into another season is about to be open to you. That's what he said. Go through that preventing, controlling barrier. Then he says, build up the highway. To understand that concept, it's a double command that basically says this. Lift up the cause of life. What is he saying? He's saying, come in contact with the purpose for why you were here on earth. Come into contact with the reality of your destiny. I want you to build up. In other words, I want you to come in focus with what's it all about, Alfie? Why are you and I here now at this time in this place? Why are you and I born again now? Why is God speaking to us to go into another season? Because he wants us to be introduced to the purpose and the destiny of our life on why you and I were born into this generation. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a flaw. It wasn't some kind of karma. It was the divine destiny of God that you and I are sitting here on this people planet right this very minute because God's got a great plan for your life. Amen? Amen. You know, some of us are going to sit there and go, yeah, I know. by the time the message is over, I think you're going to go, I know, I know, I know. We're going to change the emphasis of your knowing. But then he talks about a highway. If you can keep the scripture back up, Isaiah 62:10. He said, go through, a double command. You're going to go into a new season. He said, I want you to go through that which prevents or which controls you up to this point. You're going to break through that barrier. Prepare the way for the people, because you're going through into this new season is going to have implication to other people. Then he also says this, build up. In other words, come into contact with your purpose and destiny. Discover who you are. I want you to understand this. And then he said, build up the highway. Now, the highway is not like I-90 out there that I drive up and down on back and forth, or the highway that you take to work. That's not really the reference. In the Hebrew, it actually means staircase. Say that with me, staircase. Now, why is that important? Because if you put the entire exhortation of the prophetic unction of God that he's speaking over you and me today, he's simply saying this, you and I are going to go into a new season, and I mean it. That's why he said it twice. Then he said, you're going to go through that which has been preventing you and controlling you. That which has held you back is about to be opened up to you. Then he says this, you're going to come in contact and in reality with your own destiny and purpose. You're going to discover the why and the who and the wherefores of your life. And God is going to speak to you clearly about your future. But then he says this, you are going to take a staircase. This coming into confrontation and coming into this reality with your purpose and destiny on the earth is going to act like a staircase. Now, when I was a kid, we used to go to new construction homes all the time and climb through them. And I remember when there were just basements poured, and there was no way in. We would jump down in there and goof off and play around and maybe write our names on the walls or something like that, or in the wet cement. But then we had to be creative to get out of it because there was no staircase. So we were trapped down below. But we understood that, so we either get a rope or a ladder or some kind of a log or piece of wood or something to help us get from one level to the next level. And this scripture is actually saying, look, you're going to go into a new season. You're going to go through the very thing that used to stare you down to prevent and control you. Also, you're going to come in reality into understanding and come into the realization of your destiny and your purpose. And you are going to use that as a staircase. Now, what is a staircase for? If you understand it and define it, it simply means this. A staircase is a structure connecting two levels. Excuse me while I get happy. It connects two levels. It's difficult if you're in one level without a staircase. You can be trapped in the basement. You could be trapped in the well. You could be trapped in the cistern. And there's no way out. But oh my, my. When you realize you've gone into another season, when you realize God's going to open up the barrier that's been preventing access for your life, when you realize who you are in Jesus Christ, suddenly that becomes a staircase, and you just go from one level to the next level. Hallelujah. Now that's just my introduction, so bear with me. 7 minutes after one, if you're taking medication, go ahead and do that. If you've got to call and start the oven with your iPhone to get the roast cooking, go ahead and do that. But I just want you to know that this message is a prophetic word to a generation that God wants to speak. Let me just say this as well. I am sitting among the best that there is in Northeastern Ohio. I'm attending church with the most awesome, powerful, anointed, purpose-filled people that I have ever met in my entire life. I am so glad to be with you right now. Woo. Hallelujah. So that being said, there's one part of that scripture I've omitted. And that one part that I've omitted Everything we've already discussed is dependent upon that aspect. Oh, somebody's preaching now. Where's the part? What is it that I left out? Take out the... Say it with me. Come on. Take out the stones. One more time. Take out the stones. Now, the stones we're talking about is not the stones that get lodged in your shoe that irritate you and cause a little bit of a limp when you're walking around. That's not the stone I'm talking about. The stone is not what you pass as a man when you are having kidney pain. That's not the stone I'm talking about. It's not the stone that passes judgment or brings death. It's not the stone that marks a grave or acts as a pillow to get a vision from God. No, this is a stone that is of serious implications, because until the stones are removed, everything else we talked about lies in jeopardy. The stones must be removed in order for us to go into the new season. The stones must be removed in order for the gates to be opened up. That controlling, preventing thing that's been staring us down has to be removed. The stones have to be removed in order for us to get a staircase installed so I can just walk from the basement to the next level. How about you? I don't know that I'm going to church here this morning with a bunch of bottom dwellers, basement dwellers. How many are satisfied the way things are? How many expect better, greater, more? How many expect God to do bigger things in your life? Amen? So you need a staircase. So therefore, we're about to do some surgery on some stones. Hallelujah. You thought you were coming to church. You didn't know you were going into surgery. I didn't either. You see, the removal of the stone that I think of immediately as I consider this in Scripture, there's a lot to consider. I mentioned some of them already. But the stone that I'm reminded of is recorded for us in Matthew 28. When they laid Jesus in the tomb and they rolled a stone in front of the opening so as to encase him in the tomb of death. I think of that stone because that is vital to the removal of any of the stones that might be in your life and my life. Because when that stone was removed, listen, it transformed a tomb into a womb. When that stone was removed, it brought forth and gave birth to eternal life. It gave birth to the abundant life. It gave birth to the supernatural life. It gave birth to the God life. When that stone was removed, it brought an intimidation to every impeding thing in our lives. That's why the Bible said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Come on, all you preachers, help me with it. The same Spirit, come on, that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. I thought I had me some theologians in here. We're talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so we understand now Ezekiel 36 and 26. Because you need to realize, and I need to realize, that there must be a heart transformation for Isaiah 62:10 to come to pass. The prophecy reads this way: I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Watch this. I'll take the heart of what? Out of your flesh. And I will give you what? A heart of flesh. God said, I'm going to exchange the stone of flesh, a heart of stone, for a heart of flesh. And when that happens, it is going to bring you into a new season. It is going to bring you through what's been preventing and controlling you. It is going to create a staircase for you to go to another level. The prophecy speaks to the stony hearts of humanity. The Scripture tells us that out of a stony heart do evil thoughts come. Did you know adultery isn't in the bed or the back seat of the Ford? Adultery is actually in the heart of a man. That's what the scripture says. You see, adultery is found in a stony heart. Not only evil thoughts in a stony heart, but bitterness is in a stony heart. Grief, shame, guilt, loss, prejudice, hate, all of it is found in a stony heart. Thanks be to God. Paul the apostle said, who will deliver me from this evil? Nobody but Jesus Christ. He is able to do it. Why? Because the stone was removed. Now let me ask you a question. When Jesus was inside that tomb and he had been raised from the dead, it was pitch dark in there. Do you think for 1 minute Jesus was on the other side of that big old rock going, "Hello, somebody out there, let me out. Somebody please roll away the stone, I need out. Hey, I'm Jesus, get me out of here." Do you think he did that for 1 minute? Here's the question I had to ask myself. If Jesus, upon his resurrection, walked through a wall to meet his disciples, why did he need the stone to be removed? Is the same Jesus resurrected in the tomb that he was the resurrected Jesus who walked in the room? He didn't need anybody to open the door for him. God, why didn't you just walk through the stone wall? Because he was teaching us a principle of the stone that Daniel speaks about in chapter 2 and verse 34 that will destroy the images that man set up in worship. Nebuchadnezzar's image was broken down by a stone that came out of the mountain. And we used to sing about it, that came rolling down from heaven. Jesus is that rock that came rolling down from heaven. You know that song? How many never heard that song and don't ever want to hear it again? Let me see your hand. Woo! Jesus is that rock that came rolling down from heaven, Jesus. Daniel caught a vision of it. God, open the eyes of your people today. Get us a vision of it. Give us a vision of the stone, uncut by human hands. Woo! God, Emmanuel, became flesh, came from heaven. God with us. The stone that came rolling out of heaven, that came and smashed that image of Nebuchadnezzar, of the kingdoms of this world, and broke them down. You know why man has a propensity to worship wood and stone? Because our hearts have become cold and indifferent and far from God. And we have become stony hearted. We are in need of a transformation. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God warns Israel. And he says to them, you're going to serve other gods and the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. This generation leans toward the works of men's hands. This generation hungers and trusts in things that cannot speak, cannot hear, cannot smell. And the reason for it is because it's who they are. But you get a woman and you get a man who has had an encounter with the living God, and their heart of stone has been taken out of them, and a heart of flesh has been inserted in them. There is an ultimate change where you look at the world. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I just gotta have Jesus. Though none go with me, I'm still gonna follow. Came rolling down from heaven, Jesus. Yep. You know, I started thinking about the origin of stones, and I had to do a little Google search because I'm not a geologist or a stonologist. What would that be called? Anyway, I didn't know the origin of stones, but here's what I found, that a stone at one time was not hard. Not many years ago, my wife and I went to Hawaii. When I jumped out of the airplane, we went to Hawaii and I walked on lava. Lava rock. It's where they filmed the original Planet of the Apes. It is like weird. It looks like a different planet. I had flip-flops on. And I'm walking on lava. But it's not molten. It's rock. But at one time, it was molten. Did you know that stones have their origin in the living earth? And at one time flowed with great heat and able to maintain their heat so long as they were connected to the core. But when they got removed from the core, spat out of the core, suddenly now the temperature cooled off. And before you know it, you can walk on it in flip-flops. Stones are as a result of a disconnection from the living God. Once flowing in fervor, once flowing in fire, that's where we get the term, on fire for God. It's because a heart of stone has been removed and God puts a heart of flesh within them. Remember the men that were on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember them? They had had it. Jesus was crucified. They were booking. They were out of there. So they're walking on the road to Emmaus, going I don't know where, depressed, discouraged. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up. They didn't even know it was him. Now, they had been with Jesus. They watched him. They heard him preach. And Jesus is going, hey, sup, guys? What you doing? They say, you don't know what's going on. They just killed Jesus. And Jesus goes, really? I didn't know they killed me. I don't feel killed. I don't look killed. I'm walking and talking with you. But they didn't have the understanding because their hearts were stones. What did Jesus do? He began to give them the scriptures. He began to tell them from the prophets, from the old covenant, all that pertained to him. And the Bible says, suddenly, come on, help me say it. Suddenly, say it one more time.
Suddenly.
Their eyes were opened. And what did they say? Did not our hearts came rolling down from heaven. Their hearts burn within them. You cannot have an encounter with Jesus without a heart caught on fire. Fire. All right. Fire. Fire, y'all. However you want to say it, our hearts burn within us because of an encounter with the living God. We get reconnected to the core, and suddenly everything in us is burning for God. See, you can go to church, you can read out of the missalette, you can offer confessions, you can speak in tongues, you can read your Bible, you can sing and sing and sing, but if you have not had a heart transformation, where the stony heart has been removed by the Spirit of God, where the stone that was rolled away, giving birth to the life of God, is in your heart, then it matters not. You'll be as cold as ice. You'll be as dead as a doornail. You'll be a church that has a semblance of, but does not possess the power of a living God. And my prayer today is, Holy Spirit, burn within our hearts. Come on, lift up your hands and say it. Holy Spirit, burn. Holy Spirit, burn within my heart. That's why the psalmist David said in Psalm 139 in verse 23 and 24, search me, O God. He said, search me and know my heart. It's all about the heart, not about your head. It's all about the heart, not how you look. Come on, dressed up for church, you look good, but your heart is full of stones. I've learned something about the devil. I like to embarrass him because he has planted stones in my life. I've had a stone of rejection. I've had a stone of abandonment. I've had a stone of failure. I've had a stone of hate. I've had a stone of addiction. I've had a stone. I had multiple stones. I had a pile of stones. I had a quarry of stones. And I had no peace. I had no way out. So Jesus is inside the tomb saying, please let me out. That is not why the stone was removed. Jesus wasn't digging on the edges of the tomb looking for another way because the stone had been rolled there. It had no choice. And let me just encourage you today. You may have come to church this morning with the stones of guilt, the stones of evil thoughts, the stones of rejection, the stones of grief or loss, the stones of prejudice or hate. Listen to me. You cannot live with those stones in your life. Why? Because it's time to go into another season. And until the stones are removed, we can't go to another season. Until the stones are removed, we can't come face to face with our destiny, with our purpose. Until the stones are removed, we can't level up to the staircase to go into another level with God. Church, do you hear me? This is important that we come to the Holy Ghost this morning and say, search my heart, oh God. See if there be any stones in my pathway. He goes on in verse 24. And he says this. And see if there any wicked way in me. Let's call it for what it is. Let's quit candy coating it. Let's quit putting a glaze of religiosity over it. Well, I just don't like those kind of people. It's sin. Well, I just can't forgive her. You don't know what she did. It's sin. I'm not going to glaze it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to dance around it. It's stones and it's impeding your progress. And the devil's using it. Let's have an overthrow party. Let's have a stone party. Let's begin to get removed all these things that are preventing us from making progress in God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take every stone that was planted in my heart. I'm going to take a stone of rejection. I'm going to take the stone of hate or unforgiveness. I'm going to take the very stones that the devil's used to impede my progress. And I'm going to build an altar to God and lay my life on it. So what the devil meant for evil, come on somebody. Hey, what the devil meant for evil, I'm going to turn it around for good. Watch me now. Watch me now, devil. Came rolling down from heaven, Jesus. Mary and the other Mary and Salome, they were on their way Sunday morning. People say, why do you worship on Sunday morning? Well, maybe because it's in the Bible. Yeah, I know, but then in the Old Testament, they worship on the seventh day. Yeah, that's true. Look at Mark 16, verses 1 to 4. The Bible says it was early on the first day of the week. The first day of the week. And they were on their way to the tomb to anoint Jesus. Now, let me just tell you real quickly. We want intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We've come prepared to meet with God. But if that stone is still in our hearts, wedged, it will impede our progress. It will keep us in the same season. We'll not go to another level. I pray this morning, Holy Ghost, let this be a deliverance service. Let this be a moment when we get rid of some stuff and we clear out the highway and we get to another level in God. Father, just let it happen this morning. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you can do it. It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week, and they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they asked this question in verse 3, and the very question you and I might ask ourselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? They were on the other side of their potential. They were on the other side of good. They were on the other side of liberty and freedom. They were on the other side of the power of God, close but on the other side. They realized that it was impossible in their own strength and ability to remove the stones in order to have intimacy with Jesus. They knew they were a hopeless generation, just like you and me. Church will never get you there. Religion will never get you there. All of the acts that you can think of contrition will never get you there. You can be as good as you want to be. You can become socially involved. You can be good to the poor. You can be kind to the hurting. You can visit the imprisoned. But let me tell you something. None of those things will remove the stone. And they knew they had a desire for God and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. They knew that there was a promise prophetically that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also dwell in them. And the quickening of that Spirit will give them new life. But yet they knew they couldn't take away the stone. Sir, you can't do it yourself. You can buy all the little trinkets you want. You can get the new golf clubs. You can buy the RV and park it in the driveway. You can get HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax to try to pacify your tormenting heart. You and I can go and drink alcohol. We can take a prescription pill. We can take a trip, find another wife, have an affair on the side, do something to get this stony road out from our lives. But nothing will work. There is but one way. There is but one way. There is but one way that God Himself would come from heaven and take an impossibility and move it out of the way. When they got there, when they looked up, come on, read it with me. When they looked up, they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to move it. They didn't have to organize it. They didn't have to get with somebody. They didn't have to try to help it out. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You don't have to help God out. God is here to help you out. Yes, He is. Come on, say yes, He is. Look over at somebody and say, yes, He will. Came rolling down from heaven, Jesus. I'm feeling something in this place. Put that up on the screen, please. Jesus is the barrier breaker. I want everybody to shout it with me. Matter of fact, change your position. Put your stuff onto the side. Get on your feet. That doesn't mean I'm done. Just get on your feet, change your position. Come on, put it up there. I want you to shout this three times. Are you ready? Come on, let's do it. Jesus is the barrier breaker. Jesus Christ is the barrier breaker. Jesus Christ is the barrier breaker. Now you can be seated. The Philistines had captured Samson, got him all locked up, chained up, bound up in prison. But the Bible says in First Samuel 16 and 3, that in the morning time, Samson decided, what am I doing here? And all of a sudden, he took his mighty arm under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and his mighty shoulders and the gates that he had been chained to. Suddenly, he lifted him up and put him on his back, walked up to the main highway of the city and say, hey, y'all, how you doing? You see the thing you bound me to? I'm about to use to destroy you with. Jesus Christ is the barrier breaker. Now watch this, because Micah chapter 2 and 13 is all about your king. It's all about your king. Now I know some of you aren't used to church like this. You want church in a box. Nice. You know, quiet. You know, why are you all talking out loud in here? Why does he keep singing that stupid rolling song? Why is he doing that? I understand. It's all right. But listen to the prophecy of your Jesus. Listen to the prophecy of your barrier breaker. Come on now. It said the one who breaks open will come before them. And they will break out. The one who breaks open will come before them and they will break out. Look, there's no chain. There's no prison. There's no rock. There's no circumstance. There's no situation that can hold this boy down. Why? Because I'm following the barrier breaker. I'm going to go with him. And it said the one who breaks open, those who come behind him will also go with him. They will break out. They will pass through the what? They will pass through the what? What was the gate? That controlling, preventing factor. and go out by it. I like that. Go out by it. What? The preventing controlling factor. Ooh, I love rubbing the devil's face in the doo-doo of my past. You know what I mean? And go by it. Go out by it. The thing that was preventing me. My rejection. My bitterness. My unforgiveness. Whatever it was. The stone. Jesus breaks through it. He said, that thing that was controlling you, you're going to go through it. The very thing that would defy you, you're going to go through it. In other words, you're going to walk right by. And say, devil, watch me. And I'm just walking through what used to keep me in the same old, same old. I decree and declare over every man and woman's life in this room, you are about to go to another level. You're about to leave the same old, same old. Your life will never be the same. God wants to do something great in your life. God wants to take you to another level. Now I'm rounding third and heading home. And I'm about to score one for Jesus. I don't care how strong of an arm the center fielder has. I'm just too quick, too fast, too nimble. I'm too anointed to be called out. There's no out in my vocabulary. I am in. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Because I realize something. What is happening around me can never match what's happening in me. For greater is in me than he that is in the world. I feel God in this place. First Peter, I'm almost done. I'm running. I'm rounding third. I'm halfway home. You say, you a slow runner. First Peter 2, verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, how many believers in here say amen?
Amen.
He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, to those who are unbelievers, the stone with the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Next verse. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, more people are offended over Jesus. You see, this stone lodges itself in the heart, and only Christ can break it loose. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. I was watching CNN the other day. And the state of Ohio has just been awarded the most dubious of awards. Out of all 50 states, is there 50? 50 states. We are number one. Shout, we're number one. We're number one in the most foul-mouthed states in the union. As I was sitting there watching that, I thought, the most foul-mouthed state, and I'm pastoring there? Then I remembered recently, there was a report about Cleveland. The most impoverished, or one of the most impoverished cities in the country. I said, great God, I'm in the most impoverished city working with the most foul-mouthed people. I'm like, can I go to North Carolina or Texas or California where Alex is from? More affluent area where people talk right? Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Do you think for 1 minute when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying here saying, Father, if it be thy will, let me not go to the most foul-mouthed state in the country. Do you think, Father, I do not want to die for the most impoverished city in the nation. Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, anything, but not Ohio. Do you think he said that? He said, nevertheless, not My will be done. Did you know we were the most foul-mouthed, impoverished, spiritually dead state in the universe? And God always sends His best to the worst. Now I know why I'm pastoring in Ohio. God sends His best to the worst. Now I know why you have been raised up in this hour. God sends His best to the worst. There's about a Holy Ghost revival to break out in all of Northeastern Ohio. Woo-hoo. Don't let Jesus become a stumbling block, an offense to you. You may have come into this church today with the stones of unforgiveness. It's not worth it. Let it go. Forgive them. You may have come here today trying to fill your hearts with all kinds of vices, stone and wood, gods that cannot speak, cannot hear, cannot smell. Stop it. Get a new heart. There's some in here today that need to be born again. You need a new heart. But there are some in here who are born again, and there's been stone disbursements back in your life and in my life. And we've got to go through the gates. We need to begin to build up the highway and remove the stones. Thoughts come into my life. Presumptions about people's words or attitudes or their decisions, and right away I want to take that on as a reproach, and I say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a stone. I refuse to allow a stone in my shoe. I am not a princess with a pea about 5 or 6 mattresses beneath where I cannot sleep. I refuse to be irritated by the things that people do or say. I realize this, that God is the God that can take you and me and give us liberty and freedom, because we're following His lead. We're following His blocking. Now, the Rolling Stones I'm talking about today is not Mick Jagger. You got a picture of those dudes? Yeah. No, I'm not talking about those Rolling Stones. I'm talking about the Rolling Stones that are coming out of your life and coming out of my life right now. Because there is power in the blood of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Yes, there is. If you're here today and you've got a stone, an irritant, something in your heart, something you haven't let go of, something that causes you to stumble, something that holds you back, don't allow that staircase to be eluded out of your life. Get a hold of it today. Come on, it's time to get rid of it. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I ask you now to deliver me, because you're the great deliverer, and bought by might and not by power, but by His Spirit. God will do it, and He'll do it right now. He'll do it this very minute. So come on, please stand up with me. I am sliding across home plate as we speak. But Holy Ghost, don't let us go. Don't let us go, Holy Spirit, until every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room under the hearing of my voice is first of all born again. If you're here today and if you were to die, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. You don't know what the future holds. You don't even know about God, but you want to know God. And you sense something here today and you say, you know what? This is church unusual. I'm feeling and sensing the destiny of God. Pray for me, preacher. I want Jesus as my Savior. Come on, come on. Nobody looking around. You say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to count to three, and on that third number, I want you to lift your hand if you want that prayer. If you want heaven and you don't want hell. If you want God and you want to turn your back on the devil. You want a future and say goodbye to your past. Then you need Christ. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Hold it up high enough for me to see it all over this room. Those of you that are holding your hands up, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of where you're standing and come and join me down here at this altar. Do it right now. Would you please? Would you do it right now without thought? Just say, you know what? I'm going. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going. Altar ministers, would you come as well? I believe that God wants to do a miraculous thing. There's power in the blood. Let's sing that. Come on, come on. Go ahead and sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voices. How many believe it? I believe it with all my heart. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Watch us now to break. Come on.
To break every chain.
Break
every chain.
Break
every chain.
Come on, sing it again. There is power. Lift it up. Let me
hear
it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Take that chain and break it. Come on.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Come on, break every chain. Break
to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Now, listen. I don't want to prolong this, but I just sense by the Spirit of God that some of us are already born again, but there are some stones that have been scattered in your heart, and you got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of them, and you got to do it now. Don't go that way until you go this way, and let God clear the path for you, because only Jesus can do it. Today you say, I've got to come to God. And I'm going to ask Him to remove every impediment out of my life. That I want you to either do one of two things. Right where you are, find a place of prayer. Or come to this altar and let's agree with you in Jesus' name. We're going to sing that song one last time. This is your opportunity. You know, in the things of the Spirit, God gives windows. God gives moments. God gives opportunity. Don't let it close. The windows of heaven are open. This is an opportunity for you to walk in this anointing and get freedom. So let's do it, would you? Upon singing it again, make your way from your seat. Come to the altar of God and let the stone that came rolling out of heaven change your life. One more time. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer of deliverance. We pray this prayer of exchange. We pray this prayer now of transformation. Every unforgiving stone, every stone of rejection, every stone of hate, every stone of grief, every stone of adultery, every stone of evil thought, whatever it is, we proclaim now that there is a greater stone that came from heaven. And He will destroy and eliminate every stronghold, every stone in our life. I thank You now, Father, for the victory. And we give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Now, here's what I want you to do. This is important. I just felt the Holy Spirit say it. I try not to be goofy. I try to be Spirit-led. And sometimes Spirit-led comes across a little weird. Jericho was a stronghold. one brick, one stone upon another, encasing that city. Shut up. No one went in, no one went out, until Israel shouted. When they shouted, I believe the walls didn't just fall down. I believe the stones were obliterated. I believe they were annihilated. I believe they were powder dusted by the power of God. Look, I've been to Jericho. Pastor Troy's been to Jericho. Anybody else been to Jericho? John, you've been to Jericho. You've been to Jericho. Have you seen a wall? Have you seen anything that even looks like a wall? No, because God on the shout brought those stone walls down. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to offer up a shout to God when I count to three. Maybe not your wall, but the wall of those who have come up here for prayer. Let's give God the biggest shout of praise that we have got in our spirit. Are you ready? One, two, three. Recognize and welcome your new season. Don't be afraid of it. God is good all the time. Realize this, there's another level. There's another level that you're going to. But just know this, it won't be a skate party. Because where there's another level, but how many know? If the devil was under my feet at the last level, I can fully expect the devil will come under my feet on the next level. I want you to go from this room today encouraged. Be blessed. Don't be under the circumstances. Be more than a conqueror. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Recognize today that the glory of God has risen upon you. You and I are more than conquerors. We're God's special treasure on the earth. Let's go and win this world to Jesus Christ. Realize that God saved the best till last. You're looking at the best church in all of Northeastern Ohio. You're looking at the best that God saved for the worst. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Love somebody on the way out. See you on Wednesday night. God bless you.